The Gemara is still dealing with the obligations of non-Jews. We know there are seven mitzvos b'nei Noach. And so the last thing we saw yesterday is that the Gemara taught how much Hashem loves Jews and how upset Hashem is at people who perform violence against Jews. If you look back at the two dots, Anun Chesmet Beis, the Shlaki said, someone who lifts up his hand against a Jew, even a Jew against another Jew, gets called a Rasha. Because Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jews who were fighting, Rasha, why will you hit your friend? Not why did you hit your friend, but why will you hit your friend? Even though he hasn't yet hit him, just threatening to hit him already makes him called a Rasha. Zeiri said in the name of Reb Chanina, the person who lifts his hand up to hit a fellow Jew is called a sinner, a chote. As the verse says, that the Bnei Eli used to threaten, the imlo, and if not, lokachti b'chazka, will take it by force. And the verse refers to them as people who have chataim, chatas ne'urim agdola, hana'orim gdola. Rav Huna said, a person, a Jew, lifts up his hand against another Jew deserves to be cut off. As it says, the strong hand should be broken. And the Gemara says, Rav Huna katz yada. Rav Huna actually did it. There was a Jew, I guess, who was violent, used to hit other Jews. And Rav Huna cut off his hand. Rabbi Lazar Omer ein lo takana la kvura. Rabbi Lazar says, a Jew who lifts up his hand against another Jew, there's only one answer, to be buried. He deserves to die. Shenamar, as it says, v'ish zroa, and the man of the arm, Lo ha'aretz, to him is the earth. Finally, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar said, that's the last point we had gotten up to, Lo nitna karka ela lebalis ro'os. Land was only given to tough guys, because unfortunately a lot of people want to steal land. So if you want to own some real estate, I guess in Eretz Yisrael, you have to be really tough. Shenema, that's the meaning of the verse, v'ish zroa, and a man of the arm, Lo ha'aretz, to him is the land. Amar Shlakish, Rish Lakish said, my dechtiv, what's the meaning of the verse? Oved ad maso yizbalachem. One who works his land will be filled with bread. So that means this, im osa adam atzmo ke'eved la'adam, if a person is oved ad mato, if a person makes himself a slave to his land, yizbalachem, he will be filled with bread. But if he doesn't make himself a slave to the land, lo yizbalachem, he won't be filled with bread. So the simple meaning is that if a person wants to eat off of the land, he has to work very hard. He has to literally work like a slave in order to get food off of the land. It's not enough just to plow and to plant. He has to then weed, and he has to, you know, prune, and he has to water, and he has to harvest. He has to work very hard. However, I saw in the Masifta Gemara, they quote the Meiri, who said that this is actually a lesson about learning Torah. Saying that if a person wants to eat off of the Torah, if a person wants to really learn and understand and grasp, he has to work like a slave, work and work and work very hard to grasp the Torah. Another lesson. Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said, Ovid kochavim shashavas chayev misa. We're talking about the obligations of a non-Jew. If a non-Jew has a Shabbos, he deserves to die. Non-Jews are not allowed to keep Shabbos. According to Rashi, the explanation of that is that they're supposed to be working all the time. Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, in Parshas Noach, therefore God said, okay, there was a flood, but now, you know, winter and summer, Yom v'layla, day and night, lo yishbosu. So the simple meaning of that Pasuk is saying that the seasons and the times, they will not stop. They will always continue from now on. But the way the Gemara is interpreting it is, it's about the people. The people are supposed to be working. Lo yishbosu, they should not have a Shabbos. Both in day and in night, they should not have a Shabbos. From our mind, we've learned before. Azara shalohen zui misasim. With the non-Jews, when they're warned, that's already the death penalty. There's no need for a warning plus a punishment. The warning means that they deserve the one punishment that they get, which is death. They don't have malchus, they don't have different options, they have one punishment, either sword or choking, as we saw.
Who would kill them, Rabbi?
The Jewish court in the land of Israel, if they're living in Israel.
Would that be keeping a Sunday or a Friday or something?
We'll see. It sounds that way. Amar Ravina, Ravina said, to address Kim's point, Afilu Sheni B'Shabbos. It doesn't have to only be that they keep our Shabbos. If they take a Monday and make it into a Shabbos, they deserve death. The Rambam explains this Gemara a little bit differently. The Rambam says that the reason why a non-Jew who observes Shabbos deserves death is that he's making up his own religion. He's taking something from us and making his own religion. So they have their religion. Their religion is seven mitzvahs. They're not supposed to make their own religion. So they're taking a mitzvah from us is a making up of a religion, and that's why it's not allowed.
But Rabbi, we're talking about Shabbos and the way that we understand Shabbat. You know,
yes.
With all the not keeping
exactly.
All the halachos.
So correct. That's
so,
right.
So then it's not, they're not doing that, obviously.
Oh, in the current sense, people
right.
are not doing it. Okay.
So, I mean, even if they have the Friday or the Sunday,
yeah.
they're not keeping the Shabbos in the way that...
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So the Gemara asks, "Really, chash v'gabe zayin mitzvah." So then, why do we say there are seven Noahide laws, which, as we saw, is not to commit murder, not to commit adultery, not to do idolatry, not to steal, not to curse God's name, not to eat a limb of a living animal to appoint judges, or according to the other opinion, they take out appointing judges, they take out cursing God's name, and it's the first five plus. Not to crossbreed and not to interfere with reproductive organs, as we saw. There should be eight mitzvos b'nei Noach. They can't keep Shabbos. So my answer is, ki kach hashiv sheva al taisa. The seven mitzvos b'nei Noach are where the Torah is demanding the non-Jew not to do things. Like, don't do an act of incest. Don't pull the trigger on a gun. Don't eat a limb of a living animal. But when we say don't keep Shabbos, it's not a command not to do, it's a command not to not do. Right? It's not that there's an action that they're being told don't do. When it comes to murder, there's the action of murder. This is don't do that action. But here it's actually don't do a lack of action for 24 hours. That's not counted in the seven mitzvos b'nei Noach. So, what's counted is Sheval Taisa, demands that the non-Jew be passive and not do. Kumasei, a demand that the non-Jew get up and do something. Lo kachashiv, that's not counted in the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. That's the Gemara. Oh, that's the Gemara's question. Vadinin, but what about appointing judges? Appointing judges is a demand that they get up and do something. So answers the Gemara, right? Vadinim kumaseihu. But appointing judges is a demand to get up and do v'kachashav, and it is counted as one of the seven. Answers the Gemara, kum asei v'shev al taisen inu. Appointing judges really is two mandates. One, to appoint judges, and also don't do corruption. Don't, you know, steal money from one to give to the other, or allow a theft, or to accept, don't accept a bribe. Don't go against the issue a ruling against the rules of fairness, you know, treating one person better than the next. So those are actions not to do. So therefore, that can get counted.
I forgot, what's the source for seven exactly?
It's the psukim. Either Vayitzav Hashem Elokim, or we saw that there were separate psukim for each one.
You need the number seven. That comes from Vayitzav Hashem?
Yeah, each word.
The other
yeah.
substitute from...
There's seven different psukim. It must have been Allah Moshe Misina. There's a tradition that it's seven. Next chiddush. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rabbi Yochanan said, we're on Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Oved kochavim she'osek b'Torah chayiv misa. A non-Jew who is busy learning Torah deserves death. Shenamar, as it says, because again, any sin of the non-Jew deserves death. So now we're saying there's a sin for the non-Jew to learn Torah. What's the verse that says there's such a sin? Shenamar, as the verse says, Torah tziva lanu, Moshe. Torah was commanded to us by Moshe. Morasha, kehilas Yaakov. It is the inheritance of the community of Jacob. That means, lanu morasha. It is an inheritance for us. For lo lahem. not for them. So, as the Gemara will explain, there are either two ways to understand this. Either that if a non-Jew learns Torah, he's stealing the Torah from us, because it's lanu morasha, it's ours, not theirs. So it's theft, and we learned already before, non-Jews get killed for theft. Or it's a form of adultery, because morasha, the Gemara in Masechta Brachos says, is to be read as morasa. Torah is married to us, Torah is betrothed to us, Torah is the relationship that we have with Hashem. So they're coming in there, they're desecrating our sacred marriage. So the Gemara asks, v'chash v'gabe shavim mitzvos. So why isn't this counted as one of the seven mitzvos? Why is it seven mitzvos? It should be eight mitzvos. Answers the Gemara. Mandamar morashaya, the one who says that Torah is our inheritance and they can't take it. Migzul kol gazale, it's theft, and theft is already counted in one of the seven mitzvos. Madamar Ma'orasa, and the one who will say that the derivation is from the fact that it says Torah Tzivalanu Morasha, Morasha is to be read as Ma'orasa, as betrothed to us. So, Dino Kenara Ma'orasa. So, the non-Jew who is involved in Torah is like a situation of a non-Jew who's penetrating and desecrating a marriage situation, and therefore Dibiskila is deserving of stoning.
Rabbi, just because it says that the Torah is our commandment and it's given to Moshe and the Jewish people, it doesn't mean, I mean, I don't think from the text it means that nobody else can.
This is the derivation, right? It's ours but not theirs. They're stealing it from us. Or they are engaged in illicit marital relations by learning the Torah. So Gemara challenges this. Meisve, how could you say such a thing? We challenge it. We learned in Masechta Chagiga, actually Masechta Bava Kama, I'm sorry. We learned in Masechta Bava Kama. Hiya, Rabbi Meir, Omer. Rabbi Meir used to say, Minayin Shafi Lovit Kocham Vosik Batorah, Shukir Kohen Gadol. How do we know that even a non-Jew who's worshipping idols, but he's busy learning Torah and immersed in Torah, he's considered as special as the high priest? Shenamar, as it says, Asher Yaseh Samha Adam V'chai Behem. That will be performed by man, and he will live in them. It doesn't say that will be performed by Kohanim, Levim, V'Yisraelim, Lo Ne'amar. It doesn't say that will be performed by Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. It says that it will be done by man. Elah Ha'adam, but by man. Ha'lamadat Sahir, you're learning. Shafi Lovit Kocham V'Osik Torah. Even a non-Jew who's immersed in Torah. Ha'reyu Kohen Gadol. He's V'chaibah, he's going to live with them. He's like the Kohen Gadol. Because Chai is somehow a hint to the Kohen Gadol, according to the Ben Yehoyada. Ches refers to the eight garments, and the Yud refers to the fact that on the 10th of Tishrei, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol goes into the place which is at the 10th level of holiness, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So we have a contradiction here. On the one hand, we're saying, Rabbi Yochanan says, a non-Jew who learns Torah is a thief, or he's a philanderer. And yet, Rabbi Meir says a non-Jew who learns Torah is like a Kohen Gadol. So what's the answer? Answers the Gemara. Hasam b'sheva mitzvos did who? That's a non-Jew learning Torah about their seven mitzvos. He's allowed to learn Torah of their seven mitzvos. But he's not allowed to learn Torah not about their seven mitzvos. Not about their seven mitzvos. He's a thief. He's stealing it from us. Right, so that's a good question. We've seen that elsewhere, that we're really not supposed to study other religions unless we're doing it to know how to respond to critiques or how to apply, you know, help people who are being waylaid, that they're falling in. But basically, we shouldn't be studying other religions. Rabbi, that's a good question. But let me just share an idea that I saw here. I saw this in the footnote of the Masifta quoting the Meshiv Dover. Meshiv Dover is the Netziv. So he asked, we know that the Gemara tells us in many places a definition of theft is that I took something away from you, that you no longer have access to it. Like in the Pasuk, Vayigzal Atachanit, he stole the spear away. If a non-Jew learns Torah, so how did he take anything away from us? We still can learn Torah. Why is this called theft? So the Netziv has an interesting idea. He says, the Gemara says in Masechta Kiddushin that when you learn Torah, it becomes called your Torah. Initially, it's God's Torah, but then it becomes your Torah. Torah dilehu. When you work hard at the Torah, it becomes your Torah. What does that mean? When you work hard at the Torah, you are given insights. Hashem gives you new ideas, new halachot. You're learning, you're analyzing, you're asking questions, you come up with new answers. So once you come up with new insights, it's your Torah. So that only applies to deep learning of Torah where there's the creation of insights. That's where they're stealing, that they're getting something that we're not getting. If they wouldn't have it, we would have come up with these insights. They come up with these insights, it's now credited to them. So that's stealing. It's now theirs and not ours. But to learn Torah in the more general sense, to just teach them what it says, that the Netziv thinks is not being prohibited here, and that is in fact permitted. That a Jew is allowed to teach a non-Jew all of Torah. It's just to teach them the analysis and the new insights. That's what's being prohibited. Now also, the Gemara here says very clearly that the non-Jews are allowed to learn their seven mitzvos. Now, one of their seven mitzvos is dinim, is judges. So what are the judges supposed to be ruling? So all of Masechta Bava Metzia and Bava Basra and Bava Kama, these are all laws of damages and theft and loans. Maybe not Perek Ezeo Neshach, maybe not the chapter about interest, but everything else should apply to them as much as it applies to us. So that's a lot of Torah for them to learn. And that already they could learn even with all the insights. So.
Could you often speak about that YouTube video of
Right. They came. Well, they didn't really learn. They just came to observe it, to see what it was.
Right. Korea, at the end of the day, they read them all.
Korea, they came to B'nai Brak or something.
Panovich, exactly.
But even if they do get insights, how does it affect us getting our insights?
No, because once they have the insights and they're producing new law, so now that new law is theirs. The Torah calls it their Torah. The Gemara says it's Torah delay. It's their Torah. If they wouldn't have studied, we would have gotten those new laws. So it would have been credited to us. So that's taking something away from us. Okay, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah listed the seven mitzvot. The Braisa listed the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Omer af adam min achayr. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says, not only is there a prohibition of a limb taken off of a living animal, there's a prohibition of blood from the living animal. What's the source for this? Tanur Rabbanan our sages taught us in a brisa. The pasuk says, "Ach basar ben afsho damo lo sochel in parshas Noach." Hashem says, "But meat in the soulful blood, in its soulful blood, you shall not eat it." So that's a reference to ze aver min achay. That's the reference to a limb off of a living animal. The meat that has the blood of life still in it, because it isn't yet dead. Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, Omer, Reb Chanina ben Gamliel says, well, the pasuk here mentions blood, damo. So, afadam and achay, so that's including also blood from a living animal. Ask the Gemara, my time is Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, what's the logic of Reb Chanina ben Gamliel? So he reads it like this, kri bei basar b'nav shelo selchel. The way he reads it is, you have to sort of see the verses almost being broken up into two. It's saying meat, when still in its life, when it hasn't yet been killed, meat with its soul in it, don't eat it. And it's saying dama b'naf shelo tzeachel, and blood with its life in it, don't eat it. When the blood is from a living animal, don't eat it. Rabbanan will tell you when it's saying blood in its life, ahu lemishrei shratzim u'da'asa. That's to tell me that the law of a limb of a living animal only applies to an animal. We're not allowed to eat rodents. But if we were to take a piece off of a living rodent, it would be the sin of rodents. It wouldn't be the sin of a piece of a living animal. Kayotze b'davar ata omer, as Rabbi Chanina, similarly we find that not only was there a mitzvah to the Bnei Noach, but the Jews are told, rak chazak levilt yachol adam, just be strong and don't eat the blood. Ki adamo anefesh, because the blood is the life. Then the Torah continues, v'lo sochal anefeshim abasar, don't eat the life with the meat. So it's saying, this pasuk, the blood, which is the nefesh, don't eat it with the meat. In other words, as long as the blood is alive, you can't eat it, just like you can't eat the meat.
Wow.
Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan hold that, no, if a person eats blood from a living animal. That's the prohibition of blood. But it's not the prohibition of blood of a living animal. It's not the prohibition of something from a living animal. Ahu, that is to say that when it says blood and it says don't eat a piece of a living animal, it's not to say that blood also can't be eaten when the animal is living and there's the prohibition of dam nachai. Rather, that's to say dam hakaza shanashama yotzabu huda asa. It's to say that when you slaughter an animal, there are all sorts of bloods that come out. One of the blood, there are four different bloods that come out. One of the bloods is called dam hakaza, which has the soul, the life coming out of it. And we're saying that that also is prohibited. It's not just dam shchita, but also dam hakaza is prohibited. But there is no separate prohibition of dam in hachai.
So a steak tatar is not kosher,
right? What is snake steak tatar?
Raw steak, they chop it up and they eat them.
No,
raw.
They cook it.
It's not cooked. Nothing.
It's not an issue of cooking. You can't take a piece of a living animal. It's the animal's still alive.
I understand that, but the dead meat has blood in it. You know, because okay. It's not cooked.
But was it salted? Did they take all the meat out? Yeah. If it's kosherized, they take out the blood that's prohibited.
They have to get
rid of
it.
I promise
you it's kosher.
Kosher, is it?
At a kosher restaurant.
I don't know how they eat it.
So the Gemara now asks, Lamali l'michtav livnei Noach, Lamali l'mishni b'sinai. Why do we need to have two verses prohibiting a limb of a living animal? One, the pasuk in Parshas Noach to the non-Jews, and then again, this pasuk to the Jews at Sinai. I mean, the Jews still had to keep the laws of the non-Jews. Answer the Gemara. This is Kedur Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. This is the lesson of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Dam Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina said, "Kol mitzvah shenamar l'bnei Noach v'nishneis b'Sinai." Those mitzvahs that were initially said to the Bnei Noach and then repeated at Sinai, l'zeh l'zeh namra. That's an obligation now, both on the Jews and the non-Jews. But if it was said Livnei Noach, follow Nishtis B'Sinai, if it was said before Sinai, to the non-Jews, and then it was not repeated at Sinai, that means L'Yisrael Namra V'lo Livnei Noach. It's only for the Jews and not for the non-Jews. What's an example of this? V'anu Ein Lanu Ela Gidanasha. The mitzvah not to eat the sciatic nerve was said before Sinai to Yaakov, and presumably the Gemara is assuming Yaakov wasn't a Jew. It wasn't repeated, but that's a mitzvah that only applies to the Jews. That's like the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds the Kira Nasha was already prohibited before Sinai. Amar Mar. So we just said this lesson from Rabbi Yosef Chanina. If the mitzvah was first given to the non-Jewish world, then it was repeated at Sinai. It means now the Jews have it and everybody else has it too. Adarab, I don't understand. Once it's repeated at Sinai, L'Yisrael Nemer V'lol Avnei Noach. Isn't the point to say that now it's only for the Jews? Not for the non-Jews. So the Gemara answers, no. What happens at Sinai? God says, I am God, your Lord. Don't make any other gods before me. Idolatry is repeated at Sinai. And we know, the non-Jews get punished for idolatry. Why did the Canaanites lose the land of Israel? Because they're worshipping idols. So you see, that whatever is repeated at Sinai is continuing the way it was before Sinai, and now it's for the whole world, for the Jews and for the non-Jews. Then Rabbi Yosef Chanina said, but if it was told to the non-Jewish world, it was said before Sinai, v'lo nishnis v'sinai, it wasn't repeated at Sinai, then l'Yisrael never v'lo levnei noach, then it's only for the Jews, not for the non-Jews, like the sciatic nerve, only for the Jews, not for the non-Jews.
It's not repeated at Sinai.
Well, they knew. They knew everything before they were. They still had the obligations. They knew before.
Or were all the mitzvot given at Sinai?
Yeah, but some are not repeated. So the Gemara asks, Adarabba, that the logic should be the other way. Midlo nishnis b'Sinai. If it's not repeated at Sinai, that means it was said before Sinai when there was no distinction between Jews and non-Jews. It means that now livnei noach nemer was said to the non-Jewish world, which stayed to the non-Jewish world. V'lo l'Yisrael, and never said to the Jewish world. Answer the Gemara, no, it can't be that way. Lekamidam, there's not possible to have such a thing that the non-Jews have a mitzvah that we don't have, that they have more obligations than us. The Jewish people are more obligated.
So that would defeat us, though.
The Gemara will ask that. So lekamidam, there's no such thing. To the Yisrael Shari, that for the Jews it's allowed. L'Ovid Kochavim Aser. And for the non-Jews it's not allowed. Ask the Gemara below, is that so? What about the fact that in war, a Jew is allowed to take a captured bride, a non-Jew is not? You see, the non-Jew in a certain way has certain more mitzvahs than we do. No, the Gemara says, there it's not that the non-Jew has more mitzvahs than we. They don't have the ability to create milchemes mitzvah. Because they don't have a mitzvah to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So they don't have milchemes mitzvah. And we have the concept of milchemes mitzvah. In milchama, we're allowed to take a captured bride. They don't have milchama. But basically, they should have this law. 1 second. What about the fact that a non-Jew is not allowed to steal less than a pruta? A Jew, though, steals less than a pruta, doesn't do a sin. So you see that they have more mitzvahs than we, or in some way more. No, hasam there, really the Jew also is not allowed to take less than a pruta. But when a Jew takes less than a pruta, the other Jew forgives it. When a non-Jew takes less than a pruta, mishum delabnei mechilinenu, they don't forgive things. So therefore it's a problem. But really it could be a problem for a Jew too if they didn't forgive things. So going back to what Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina says, and according, apparently, abortion also. It's not permitted for the Jew. It may not be punished the same way for the non-Jew, but it's not permitted. So therefore, it's not a sign that they have more mitzvahs than we do.
Rabbi, what other religion they were there at the time of Gemara? There was no Christianity. It was no.
Why Muslim. Was there no Christianity? Gemara was written in the year 500. Christianity was around.
No, I'm talking about the original, you know, the Tanaim that they did the...
Christianity was around.
At the time it was?
Yeah, and Zoroastrianism was the big faith in Persia. It was written in Persia. So now we learned in the beginning of Rabbi Yosef Chanina, Kol mitzvah shenem levnei Noach v'nishnes b'Sinai, any mitzvah that had been said before Sinai, and then repeated at Sinai. So since it was repeated, it means it's continuing for the non-Jews and also for the Jews now. L'zeh l'zeh namra. It's now for both. Ask the Gemara, is that so? Now turning to Nun Testament days. Bare Mila, what about circumcision? Shenem levnei Noach, it was told before Sinai, it was told to people who weren't Jewish. Tzev Hashem tells Avram Avinu, V'atas b'sish tishmor, you keep my covenant, you and your children. V'nishneis b'sinai, and it's repeated at Sinai, in Parshas Tazria. Uvayom ha-shmini yomol b'sar ha-laso, on the eighth day, the baby's flesh shall be circumcised. And no one says that the non-Jews should be doing circumcision. The Yisrael, nemer v'lo levnei Noach, it's only for the Jews, it's not for the non-Jews. My answer is, Hahu, that verse, Uvayom Hashmini Yimol, is not repeating the mitzvah of circumcision. It's just teaching us the law. Uvayom Hashmini, on the eighth day, even if the eighth day is Shabbos, Mishrei Shabbos Uda'asa. Sometimes you can do circumcision on Shabbos, even though cutting and making something bleed is a violation of Shabbos. Because Bayom Afilu B'Shabbos, on the day, you have to do it, even if it's on Shabbos. So it's not really repeated. 1 second about this principle. We're saying any mitzvah said before Sinai, then repeated, continues with the non-Jewish world and is now also with the Jewish world. What about the mitzvah to have children? It was told to Noach when he comes out of the ark, the tziv, as it says, and you be fruitful and multiply. Finished, it's b'Sinai, it's repeated at Sinai, because after the revelation of Sinai, there had been 3 days before that we had separated from the women. Then Hashem says, Lechem or Lehem, go tell them, Shuvu Lechem lo Alechem, go return to your tents, go return to your wives. And we see that the Jews were commanded for Pru Revu. L'Yisrael Namra, V'lo Levnei Noach, it was said to the Jews, and it wasn't said to the non-Jewish world. The non-Jews don't have a mitzvah of Pru Revu, they don't have a mitzvah to have children. Hahu, so how do we know they don't have a mitzvah to have children? Because it's not part of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So you ask, what do you mean it's not part of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach? We said Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach are passive things. This is active. So the Tosfos answers that included in the rule of Puravu is the obligation to be passive and not spill seed. And the non-Jews don't have that obligation. So you see that they don't have Puravu. So how could they not have Puravu? The mitzvah is repeated. So the Gemara says, no, the mitzvah is not really repeated. Ahu, when Hashem says, go back to the tent, it's not the mitzvah puravu. It's to tell you something else. It's to say, whenever there is a rabbinic prohibition, even if the reason for the prohibition is gone, the prohibition lasts until there's a new vote to remove it. The kol davar shebeminyan, anything that was imposed by a vote, like here when Moshe Benu says, I want you all to separate from your wives, that's a new rabbinic prohibition. Tzarech minyan achir la'atiru da'asu. You need a new legislation to remove it. So God has to say, go return to your tents. But if God wouldn't have said, go return to your tents, the prohibition of not being in the tent would have stayed, even though the reason for the prohibition was to be holy in order to get the Torah. We already got the Torah. So even though the reason is no longer there, still the prohibition would have lasted. Ihachi, if that's the case, both for Pur Revu and for Bismili, you said, no, it's not really a repetition, it's just an addition of a law. So all the mitzvahs b'nei Noach that are repeated. Parshas Achremos and Kedoshim that repeats the laws of Arayos, of prohibited relations. Parshas Yisrael that has the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah. All the different mitzvos. Birchas Hashem, which is, as we saw in Parshas Emor. We should say that these things are repeated for the laws that they're adding, but not to repeat the law and to say that it still applies to the non-Jews and also to the Jews. My answer is no. Hachi Kamar. This is what we're saying. An obligation taught before Sinai should have only had the punishment repeated. Azhara mi'eder misnabalamali. Why is the warning sometimes repeated? That's to say that the obligation continues with the non-Jewish world and is also with the Jewish world. But if the warning is not repeated, then we say, okay, now it's no longer with the non-Jewish world, now it's only with the Jewish world. Then the Brisa went on to say, V'elon, what's an example of a mitzvah given before Sinai and not repeated, and therefore it's only for the Jewish world now? Gidan Asher. When Yaakov is wrestling with the angel wounds the sciatic nerve, and the Torah therefore says, Alkein lo yochlu, therefore the Jews won't eat Gidan Asher. So that only applies to the Jews because it's never repeated elsewhere in the Torah. And Valiba de Behuda, that works according to Behuda, says that the obligation started before Sinai. Asks the Gemara, Haninami, but we just had two other examples, Pur Revu and Bris Mila, that we just said were not really repeated after Sinai. So therefore, Lo Isni, they weren't really repeated after Sinai. They don't really apply to the non-Jewish world anymore. So the Gemara says, you're right. These are mitzvahs that only apply to the Jews and not to the Jewish non-Jewish world. When Rabbi Yosef B'Chanina says, we only have Gidan Asha, what he means is, we only have Gidan Asha as a mitzvah that's not invoked again. Hani Isni L'Shamil Saba'alma, Bris Mila and Pur Revu were invoked again. Pru Revu to tell me that Davar Shabiminyan Tzarech Minyan Acher La'atiro, Bris Mila to tell me that Bris Mila can occur on Shabbos. They were invoked again. But the one mitzvah that said before Sinai, never invoked again, is Gidan Asher, Halo Isni Klal. This is not invoked at all. Iba Yisema, alternatively, I can give you another answer. We asked, but Bris Mila is repeated at Sinai, so it should still apply to the non-Jews. I'll tell you another answer. Mila meikara lavram udukamaz lerachmana. When Hashem gave Bris Mila, it was only to Avraham. It wasn't to the non-Jewish world. As Hashem tells Avraham, va'atah es prisit tishmor, and you shall keep my covenant, atav ezaracha acharecha lo torasam, you and your seed after you, for their generations. Atav ezaracha in, you and your seed, yes, in eshachrin lo, but other people not. So the Gemara says, really, this is a command given to Avraham, so then the children of Yishmael, the Arabs, should be obligated in Bris Mila, because Yishmael is the son of Avram, and the Bris Mila was given to you and your seed. Yishmael is the seed of Avram, so Yishmael also, they should be obligated in Bris Mila. Answers the Gemara, the Arabs are not really children of Avram. Hashem said to Avram, Ki bi Yitzchaki kare lechazara. Through Isaac you will have a seed. Isaac is called your seed, Yishmael not. So in second, so the Christians should have Bris Mila, because the Christians come from Esav, because Rome became Christian, and Rome is from Esav. B'nei Esav l'chayvu, so the children of Esav should be obligated in Bris Mila. So the Gemara says, no, Hashem told Avram, be Yitzchak, in Yitzchak, only part of Isaac. Part of Isaac is your seed. V'lo kol Yitzchak, not all of Isaac. Which part? Jacob. Yaakov is the seed of Avraham and Yitzchak, but not Esav. Maskev for Rav Hoshaya, so Rav Hoshaya challenged this. Elamayatah, so now if only part of Yitzchak is called the seed. So B'nei Keturah lo l'chayvu, we know Avraham has another six sons after the death of Sarah. Parshas Chaye Sarah, the Torah says that Avraham marries Keturah, And he has six sons. One of them is Midian and others. So they should not be obligated in Bris Milah according to this, because they're not really sons of Avram. And we know that they are obligated. It's the Gemara. Ha'amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin, V'itim Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin said something, it's Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said it. The verse says, Es Brisi Hefar. If somebody doesn't do Bris Milah, he has desecrated my covenant. So the Rabbos, that's to include the obligation to circumcise B'nai Keturah, the children of Keturah.
Muslims have...
Yes, according to Rashi, yeah.
Muslims have circumcision.
Okay, so according to the simple reading of this Gemara, the Muslims are not obligated to do Bris Milah. Maybe they're doing it because it's Yishmael himself had it. So they're following the Minhag. But they're not obligated. That's the simple reading of this Gemara.
But they're doing it at the age of 13 years old.
Right. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Another law. Adam Arishon, lo huter lo basar la'achila. Adam Arishon was a vegetarian. He wasn't allowed to eat meat. The chsiv, because the pasuk says, v'yomer lo kiminin asach lechem es kol esav zera, ves kol eitz, lochem yelachla, lochol chayasar, to you it'll be eaten, like to the animals. So it means you can eat the grass and trees, but not chayasarets, velo chayasarets lochem. But you can't eat the animals. Adam Arishon? Avram Avinu. No, Adam Arishon. Ukeshebo b'nei Noach, but once Noach came out of the ark, Hitrelehem, then God allowed people to eat meat of animals. And Amar, as the verse says, Kierak esev nasati lochem es kol. I'm giving you now access to everything like the grass in the fields. Yachol, lo yehe evre menachai, no egbo. Maybe once they were given permission to eat meat, so they could even eat the meat of a living animal. Tamaloma, that's what the pasuk went on to say, as we learned earlier. Ach basar benafsho lo tochelu, but meat you cannot eat when it still has life, when it still has blood in it. Yachol af l'shratze, maybe even with rodents. If a person eats a piece of a rodent while it's still alive, there's the prohibition also of evre menachai. Talmud Lomar, ach, that's what it says, but is to exclude. Umay Talmuda, why is it excluded? Maybe you exclude some other animal. So Rav Huna said, because it says, Damo, his blood. Misha Damo Chalak Mipsara, where is there this law in those creatures where the blood and the meat are two separate items? Yatsu Shratzim, rodents are different. Shein Damam Chalak Mipsara, their blood is not separate from their meat, it's actually part and parcel of their meat. How can you say that Adam Arishon was not allowed to eat meat? Meisvei, I'll challenge you. The verse says that God tells Adam Arishon, and rule, uredu, and rule b'degasayam over the fish. So my lav la'achila, how are you ruling over the fish? You're eating them. That means you're allowed to eat meat. Lo, it means l'malacha. You can use them for work. Dagim b'nei malacha ninu, how could you work with fish? In, yeah, you could saddle up the fish to a plow, and the fish could pull the plow. Kidder Rachva, we know Rachva had a question. The boy Rachva asked in terms of the prohibition of Kilayim. Hinig be'izav ishibutamai. What happens if you tie the chariot both to a goat and to a fish, and they pull it? The fish from the sea and the goat on the land. Is that called Kilayim? So you see that you can use a fish for work. All right, another proof that Adam Arishon maybe was allowed to eat meat. Similar to Roger's question. Tashma, come in here. We learned. It says they rule over the fish and rule over the birds. Uvof HaShamayim. So my lav lachila, how are you ruling over the birds? Isn't that you're allowed to kill them and eat them? Lo, it means l'malacha. You're allowed to use them for work. Ovos b'nei malacha ninu, how do you work with birds? In Kedibay, Rabbi Bar Avuna said, Dash b'avazim v'tarna golem, Rabbi Yos Rabbi Yehuda. My, if a person uses both ducks and chickens for threshing, is that considered working with two creatures? Tashma, come in here. And rule over all the living creatures crawling on the earth. You see, you're allowed to eat the creatures. So the Gemara says, no, ahula asuye nachashu da'asa. That was to say that they could use snakes. And again, that was a creature that could do work. The Tanya is looking at the price of Shimon Manasi Omer. Chaval al shamash gadol shavim in ha'olam. A pity that we lost a great minister, a great servant. Shil malin is kalal nachash. If the snake would not have been cursed, kalechad ve'echad v'yisrael, yimizdavin lo shnei nachashim tovim. The snake would have had feet, And every Jew would have had two good snakes. Echem eshagul atzafum, echem eshagul adarom. He could send one to the north, one to the south. Love you, lo san baltim ktovim, to bring him a nice precious stone. Rabbanim tovus and margolios. And pearls. V'lo od. Not only that. Elashmafshilno ritzuo tachas navo. You could have tied the tail underneath him. You could have tied a rope underneath his tail. And with him, you could have used him to take out dust to the places outside. But because of the sin, the snake was cursed, and we no longer have a creature that can help us.